Good morning.
Good morning.
Time has come again for us to receive a portion of word from the Lord who sits on high, and I as his humble servant am here to try to disseminate the best parts of the scripture that I can, as best I can. And I just want to thank you all for allowing me to be here. I thank the leadership here at Desert Church of Christ for allowing me to be here. And for those that don't know me, my name is Nathan Elder. I am the associate minister at the North Las Vegas Church of Christ. In moving forward, I was looking at what I was going to talk about and just looking at making some adjustment to that. When there are things that I feel that need to be brought to the forefront, because I can't teach you a thing and not do the thing that I'm teaching you to do. And the thing that is that when we are looking for a minister to come to a congregation, as a congregation, because long before I was a member, I was sitting in the pews just like you were, and trying to select a minister to come to a congregation in Texas. I remember when our minister passed away. You know, we had to begin to do a ministerial search, trying to find a minister, look for a minister, and you know, we had ministers come in, and we tried to evaluate them, see if they were compatible with the congregation, if we were in line together, in tune with that minister, if we saw a pathway forward with him, if he's whatever his vision was for the congregation as well, know that those things lined up. And you know, we had one that died. You know, he was a good one. We had some good ones, and we had some bad ones. We had a minister that caused the church to split, and it split like right down the middle. And with that particular situation, that you know caused a rupture within that particular congregation, of which it has never recovered. It has never recovered. And this is my home congregation. So I've been a part of ministerial searches, and I know the repercussion of selecting the wrong person for the job. So as I began this walk into becoming a minister for God, a person in this role, I always wanted my ministry to be real. That's why most of the things or the examples that I give come from my life, because I'm an expert on me. I'm not an expert on anybody else. I know what I did. I know how I responded. And because I've been, and let me just say this for people who don't know me. I have never been anything but Church of Christ. I've never been anything else. So I grew up in it. I was born into it, grew up in it. This is all I know. Does that make me an expert? No. But what it does is not give me insight to things outside of it. I have to learn other things outside of it. And when I have to learn other trains of thought and ideologies and theologies, you know, I have to bring that into my own fruition so that I can understand why it is people think what they think. I am a student of psychology, my wife will tell you. I am interested in what people think, as was Paul, as was Peter. They were concerned with the way that people thought, because when you bring somebody truth, when you introduce truth to people, there is a book that exists called Somebody Move My Cheese. Has anybody ever read that book? All right. That book speaks specifically to change. Nobody likes change. What truth does, truth comes in and changes things in your life. What are you talking about, Brother Elder? Say you live your life a certain way. Say, for myself, like I told you all, in college, I lived a certain way because I was young. I was out of my mom's house for the first time. I didn't have anybody telling me what to do. And with that being the situation, I got to college, and like the young kids say, I wild out. I was partying. I was going. I had never been to a club in my life till I got to college. I didn't know. The only club I knew about was the boys' club or the clubhouse or wherever, you know, the tree house. That was the club to me. When I got to college, no, that was a different club. It had strobe lights and music and people dancing. And when I went in there, I was like, whoa, I like this. I don't know why. But when I showed up and I went in there and I began to participate, I said, okay, I see what I've been missing on. I don't know why. I see what my mama was trying to keep me away from. This looked like for my mama was trying to keep me away from fun. This fun. But see, that's how the enemy works. The enemy makes sin look like what, y'all? Fun, yeah. So when I got in there and I saw all this fun, and I started, you know, gyrating myself because I'm feeling the energy of the music, man, and I feel all this fun. And when I would go home, somebody talk to me. When I would go home, and I would go into my mother's house, who my mother is ultra religious at this time, and probably at this time right now too. But when we were young, ultra religious, because why? My mother has four sons. She is a woman by herself trying to raise four men. So in my youth, my mother was harder than she is now. Like, she all soft now. Hey, baby. There were no hey babies when I was young. My mother had to be tough because she had men to raise. So when I got back from all that fun in college, and I tried to come to my mother's house and bring all the fun with me to her house, how you think that went over? Woo! But it didn't go over well, because my mama said, whatever you learning up there with the people, leave that up there with the people, because this is my house, and what go on in my house is going to be the rule. If you don't like it, get out my house. Now, since I didn't have a lot of options, I didn't have no house, what could I do? Oh, my God. The problem right now in the Lord's house is you got a lot of people trying to tell the Lord how they gonna operate in his house. I said that quietly. Let me say it a little louder. We got a lot of people in the Lord's house. And we're not talking about building. We're talking about his church. Trying to tell the Lord how they are going to operate in something that does not belong to them. And I don't care how old you get. I'm almost 50 now. And I go home. And I go into my mother's house. And my mama's still trying to tell me what to do. I got a wife and kids. I got grown kids. I got grandkids. And guess what I still can't do? Whatever I want in my mama's house. Because it does not belong to me. We are looking at a situation where the truth is becoming ineffective. Somebody ain't gonna agree with me with that. But all you have to do is look at the world. Look at the world and how it operates. Look at the world and the things that are going. Look at the youth. I was just teaching a Bible class this past Wednesday, and the Bible speaks on it in two different places, in Psalm, and I believe in the book of Matthew. But I would have to look just to make sure. Just check with me after class, after worship. In two different places where the problem with the generations is that nobody fears God. Amen. Nobody fears God. So the psalmist said, and then it You now see the end result of when there's a lack of respect. We were all, I want to say you all are a baby boomer generation. Most of y'all born in the 60s and back, y'all have to tell me. I don't need to know. I'm going to assume me and my wife, the youngest people in this room, amen? Amen. And I'm Generation X. Because she's even younger than me. She's like, she is a millennial. She's younger than me. But everybody prior to that had a different type of upbringing. They had a different type of way of seeing the world. And that was permeated in your raising and in the way you were raised and the way you raised your children. But that is not the way this world operates currently. This world operates outside of a healthy respect for the God that sits on high, because these people have now made themselves self-important. What are you talking about, Elder? When you hear people say, I'm living my best life. If your best life don't include God, how can it be the best? What best life are you talking about?
Tell it.
We have to raise our consciousness to the point to where it must include God. If it does not include God, it is not the best.
Amen.
Where we are right now, the whole month's lesson is about giving God your best. And if you're not giving God all of you in the way that He wants, then you're not giving your best. If we create situations where we are now moving outside authorized walls that have been built for us to operate within. And that, when we talk about that, the scripture, that is our operational apparatus. That is how we are supposed to move, how we are supposed to look, it tells us everything. If we're moving outside of that, church, something is wrong. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse number 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse number 16. The truth is powerful. And the truth can reshape. But it's only effective if we take it into our mind and listen. So what is the writer talking about here? The writer says, all scripture. It's given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every work. The scripture gives us our structure. The scripture formulates our doctrine. The scripture authorizes correction, and the scripture is the instruction that we need for righteousness.
Amen.
The scriptures is the only thing that we have permission to abide by. Nothing else. That's why my opinion don't matter. I could be Dr. Such and So, expert in such and such, and that still wouldn't matter. Because whatever God said is going to supersede whatever my opinion is. Tell you right now, Nathan's opinion is the same as God's opinion. God would not have anybody go to hell. I'm going to say it just that plainly. I'm going to say it just that simple. Because it says it in the scripture. It's not His will that you lose your soul to hell. But you can. But you can. Because there's a world that says, God is not a God. He's a loving God. He wouldn't condemn me to such a bad place. Y'all know the demons used to be angels. And the demons were condemned to such a place. The demons who used to be angels are sons of God. And if God was willing to condemn His sons to such a place, why would He not do it to us? And why did He do it? What is the truth of the matter? They disobeyed and they had to go. Same with us. Same with us. We have to to operate within our modus operandi, and that is the scripture. So I tell you this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, you that you may proclaim the praises of him who did what? Called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. What is the scripture talking about? What is Peter saying? Peter is saying, you are separate from everything else. You don't look like everything else. You don't walk like everything else. You don't talk like everything else. You separate from that. The world would have us to believe that any spiritual organization is just as good as another. The world would have us to believe that. But if the Bible lets us know through the scripture we ought to be separate, then how can we look like everything else? We are peculiar. Does anybody know what that word peculiar means? It's strange. It's different. Not like the others. And we are peculiar. We're peculiar because we know the truth of the matter. We know the truth that if we don't obey God, then there is a place that's waiting for us. We also know the truth of the matter that if we do obey God, there's another place waiting for us.
Amen.
It is a foolish man that believes that there is no end to his life, that his life ends in oblivion. That is a foolish man. How do I know this, Brother Elder? Because of the two things I'm about to tell you. One, spiritually we understand this, but even scientifically we understand this. Matter can be neither created nor destroyed. It can only be what? Transferred or transmuted. The soul can neither be created or destroyed. It can only be transferred or destroyed by God. Y'all thought I was going to say something scientific. But it cannot be created by man, nor can it be what?
Destroyed
by man. So science even backs it up. If that is the case, then we have to do what it says to do, because there is an ultimate consequence if we don't do it. The scripture says this: who once were not a people, but now people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. How did we obtain mercy? Did we do it? Did we save ourselves? Did we somehow get ourselves out of the stuff and mire that we were in? No. Somebody had to come. Somebody had to lay on a cross with nails driven in his head, with spears pierced into his side, with a crown of thorns on top of his head. Somebody had to come and obtain mercy for us, because we could not save ourselves. Who is it? Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. And because of that mighty sacrifice, because of that ultimate death, shameful death, sad death, horrible death, of which he did nothing to achieve, are we able to receive the grace and the mercy of the God who sits on high? And why is that important, Doctor? Because the scripture says it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God.
Amen.
And who stands between wrath like that? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We cannot deny the importance and the place of this plan. Acts chapter 20, verse number 28. Acts chapter 20, in verse number 28. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, the shepherd of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The church of God and the church of Christ are synonymous and they go together. Why is that? Because our name is not a title. Our name is not anything specific to anything earthly. This kingdom is spiritual. How do we know that? The scripture lets us know. Those who worship God must do what? Worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. This item shows us who it belongs to. And I just want to show you that in scripture. Because it does say in two different places, church of God. And it also calls us, it says that it tells us that it was first called the churches of Christ in Antioch. And they were first called Christians there as well. We move and we understand that this situation is not something that was created by man. That's what the scripture backs up. Let me give you another scripture. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus is talking. Jesus is letting you know what his plan is. And he's telling Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Is the kingdom a place with a castle? No. The kingdom is his church. And the church is not a place built with earthly hands. It was not made with hands. It is a place that exists on a spiritual plane as long as his people do what he said. Then the ecclesia exists. The Bible also lets us know, what is the ecclesia? The ecclesia is a called out assembly. Again, called out. What does that mean, brother? Separate. It's separate from everything else. We have to move from out the world and become the people that God would want us to be. And that takes bravery and that takes change. Because you have to change from who you were to who you can be. You have to move from the natural man. You have to move from the carnal man and move into the spiritual man. And that takes bravery and that takes change. And none of us like change. None of us like because we were talking about it earlier. How you are now as opposed to what you was like then. And everybody got quiet. Amen, somebody. Because I told y'all, I'm not ashamed to tell you who I was. Because I don't answer to who I was. I answer to who I am. And that's because of the grace and mercy afforded to me through the name of Jesus Christ. I don't have to be ashamed of my past. And neither do you all. That's why I told you, it's all right. Well, you don't have to tell me what you did. I'm not your judge. But know that whatever you did, if you've asked God for forgiveness and been baptized and raised up a new creature in Christ, then the Bible says all your sins were washed away. So it don't even matter what you did. It matters what you're doing right now. And that's only afforded to you because of Jesus' sacrifice. Yeah. Look again. The Bible says this. I got to get through this. The church is a saved people. How do I know this? Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. The Bible says, praising God, having favor with all his people. And the Lord did what? Add unto the church daily those who were being saved. Again, it's right there in the scripture. Those who were added to the church, the one church, those that were added were the ones being saved. The scripture does not tell us anything that we don't need for our salvation. So if that is what happened, then that's what happened. The Bible says it again in Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 23, Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 23. Now, I want you to understand this is talking about the hierarchy of marriage and the way that it will work. But I want you to see in the scripture what it is saying specifically about the body. It says this: for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is what? The head of the church. And he is what? The savior of the body. There can be no other savior of the body. And he is the head of the church. A lot of times within these little congregations, we get like many kingdoms. We get many kingdoms with little thrones that sit up on the stage. And you have little preachers who thinking that they're in charge of the whole situation. That is never what God intended. The minister works for God. And the minister works for God and his people. That makes him what? A servant. I don't create edict. I don't create law. I can't tell the church what to do. God already did that. I have to follow it just like everybody else, whether I want to or not. Because I am a person under command, and so are you. We look again at the scripture, and it says that that one cannot be saved unless they are a member of Christ's body, the ecclesia, and the church does not say, "Ooh, I done said something. I'm about to scare some folk." Being here don't guarantee nothing. Being in this place don't guarantee you a trip to heaven. Because you are the church. You're the church out there. You're the church in your car when somebody cuts you off and you lose your mind. Amen. Hallelujah. And you lose your mind. You still what? The church. You can't turn the church off. You can't hide from the church. I can't be over here and they can't see me no more. That's not how it works. You're the church wherever you go. So being in this beautiful place with these nice pews, listening to this good preacher, ain't gonna save you from hell. The only thing that keeps us out of that rock in that hard place is following the commands of God. A real preacher gonna tell you the truth. And I just wanna say this and then I'm gone. The ecclesia, God's people, are possessed people and they are purchased people. How do I know it? Titus chapter 2, verse 13 through 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 through 14. Looking for a blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good work. What is Titus being told? He's being told that the things that have been done through Christ, the sacrifice that's been done through Christ was done that so his people could be purified through the sacrifice. But it only belonged to who? His people. What has gotten confused in this world? Who? Of God's people. The Revelation, the book of Revelation says that John looked over and saw a number that what? No man could number. So what are you saying now? Everybody going? Nope. But see, the beautiful thing about Jesus' sacrifice is that everybody has what? The opportunity.
Right. Amen.
Everybody. Nobody has to go to hell. That's beautiful. That's marvelous. That is the truth. But they have to choose it. They have to choose it. We are purchased people. Purchased by the blood of Christ. I know I said that was the last one. I got to read this. Romans chapter 6, verse 2 through 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 2 through 4. You have to understand what the scripture is saying plainly. Romans chapter 6, verse 2 through 4. Certain not how shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we who were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should now walk what? In the newness of life. We cannot stay in the mire of sin because he died so that we did not have to. We must change the framework of our thoughts, the framework of our lives, because we cannot stay where we were. This lets you know why I'm not ashamed to tell you about who I was. The commandment says, I cannot stay where I was. So all the fun and all the activity and everything that was going on in college, I can tell it to you like a story because that's what it is now. That ain't who I am. I look back at it and I'll be like, wow, that sure was a lot of fun. But I'm having more fun now. Why is that, Brother Evan? Because I have the truth. I know the truth of the matter. Because now I know John chapter 8, verse 21. If you die in your sin where God is, you cannot go. So now I know that if I had died in my 20s after having fun, I could not have gone. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That ought to be powerful to you.
That's right.
If we die in our sin, we cannot go. What is sin? Transgression against the law. And you have to know the law. And ignorance is not a good excuse. I mean, if y'all get out there on that highway and you're doing 100 miles an hour, and you tell the policeman, I didn't know what the speed limit was. Even if you ain't lying. Ignorance of the law is what?
No
excuse. Same for us. Same for us. We have to know what this book says because it is in the parameters of which we live. If there is anything that sits in our pathway that is contrary to the will of God, even Paul said, don't let people come in and tell you any kind and every kind of thing. He said, I am shocked. I am amazed at how fast you got away from the gospel. Soon as somebody come in and say something spectacular, something that itches our ear, something that we want to hear. And again, I'm not talking about does the Church of Christ. I'm talking about people in general. We get off track not because somebody got these special mind powers to pull us off track or somebody got these special words. You know, you hear people, oh, he got the gift of gab. No, you wanted to do it. You heard it. And you wanted to do it. You wanted to do the things that you do. Sin don't just happen by accident. You wanted to do it. You chose it. The truth lets us know that we have to be man enough and woman enough to say if we've chosen a path and the path is not righteous, then we have to say we're man enough and woman enough that we chose it. And only through the truth can we turn our minds to God and get off that wrong path and get back on the right one. That's how change is made. When somebody move your cheese, when somebody come into your life and make change, it's always hard. But everything that's worth having ain't easy to have. That's why we're not all billionaires. That's a joke. It's okay. I just want to move in ways that I am authorized to move. And I want to just tell people the gospel truth. Because I, like God, don't want anybody to be in a position where they cannot be saved. And I just want to let people know who have never heard the gospel before. Again, Jesus Christ died so that we might have the opportunity to be saved. He was hung, bled, and died, and rose on the third day, and with that became our salvational hope through his sacrifice that we might be saved. And again, how do I know this? The Bible lets us know Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We must first hear the word of God. And then after we hear the word of God, the Bible says that we must believe that word. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. And after we believe that word, after we believe the things in which we've heard, the Bible says that we must repent. We must turn away from our sinful ways into a path of righteousness. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 5. And then after you repent, the Bible says you must confess. The Bible says you must confess the sweetest name ever spoken on mortal tongue, that being the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 through 10. And then after you heard, believed, and repented and confessed, the Bible says you must be baptized in a watery grave of baptism. And how do we know what the scripture says? The scripture says it plainly. John chapter 3 and verse number 5. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly. That means I know. Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. And then after you've done all these things, heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized, you owe a lifetime of service to your God. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. I just want to say that this was not what I came here with. And I am not here to try to browbeat anybody. I am here as a purveyor of truth. And I stand in the gap on anything that I've said. I want people to know that my words are not my words. These words are not my words. These words come from the scripture themselves. And we as believers, we as people under command, have to obey. This is what it means to be submissive. It is not based on how you feel about me, how I feel about you, how we feel about each other, how we feel about them. Because when we go to stand before God, nobody will be at the judgment seat but you and him. So our feelings about each other, no matter, only in the realm of what he said. He said, I have to love my neighbor like I love myself. Command. And I do. Otherwise, I would not have told you the truth. So I love you. I hope you love me. I'm lovable. Ask my wife. Amen.
Amen.
Let us be steady.